Now, boys and girls, your mums and dads might have to help you with the sheet that you've got to complete, okay? The words will come up on the screen, and we're going to look at this part of the Bible together to show us just how special the Lord Jesus Christ is, okay? Boys and girls, have you had any Christmas plays yet? You've probably had your Christmas plays at school, haven't you? Can anybody tell me what you've been in your Christmas plays? Anybody had to dress up? Zach? The Ghost of Christmas Past. Brilliant. Yeah. An angel. Beautiful. Thank you. A storyteller. Very good. That's very exciting. Yeah. An innkeeper. Were you a grumpy one? Were you a grumpy one? Is there no space? No? Okay. All right. Any others? Stars? Angels? Camels? I was at a school play, and the person will remain nameless, but turned around to me and said, "What's your son supposed to be?" My son was perfectly dressed up as a camel. He was mistaken for a reindeer. He could have passed for a cuddly bear, to be honest, given the outfit. And as we look at some children dressed up for school plays, you think, what on earth are they supposed to be? Okay, the angels and stars are fairly straightforward. Mary and Joseph is fairly easy. But sometimes you look and think, what? I know that's a boy or I know that's a girl, but I'm not really sure what they're supposed to be. In the Bible, we're told something about Jesus before he came to Bethlehem. This is what we're told about Jesus. Can you see the bit in white? Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Those words, though he was in the form of God, can make us think that Jesus somehow dressed up, okay? He looked like. And we can get ourselves all mixed up, but that's not what it means at all. When the Bible says he was in the form of God, do you know what it means, boys and girls? It means he's really God. Inside, all the way through, right down to the bottom, he's God. There's no one bit of him that's not God. And before Bethlehem, before he came to the manger, there's no mistaking. You can't look at him and think, oh, I'm not sure what he's supposed to be. The Bible says he was God all the way through. And when he was God, he didn't act selfishly. Mums and dads, do you know what selfishness is? Christmas time, it's a wonderful time for making our children selfish, isn't it? Who's going to pull the first and the last cracker? Who's going to keep all the cracker stuff? Who wants the biggest present? Who wants the last roasty? Okay? Or who wants the longest list of... Our children are encouraged, hands down. Our children are encouraged to be selfish at times. There's things to grab after. But we're told that before Bethlehem, Jesus didn't grab after anything. He gave it up. Before Bethlehem, Jesus, although he was God, didn't grab after all that meant. What we're going to do, boys and girls, on this screen, we're going to show you the steps that Jesus took and then the steps that God the Father took. Okay? So before Bethlehem, he didn't grab after anything. He didn't want to be God just for himself. He wanted to be God. Well, do you know what he wanted to be God for? For you and me. He wanted to come down to earth so that you and I would know him. Now then, if you've got your sheet, we'll move on to the second one. The one God honours is the one who became human. He became human. If you were God, I came down to earth, you might be tempted to come down as a superhero, or someone who had lots of muscles, or someone who was very intelligent. You knew the answer to this. How did Jesus come down to earth? When he came not as a man, he came as a baby, didn't he? A little baby. And the little baby was put into a feeding trough. We call it a manger, feeding trough, for the animals. And he was put in there until he would grow up as a boy. Not as a king, not as a commander, not as a big strong man. But he came as someone who looked very weak. Very weak. So we see that Jesus, before Bethlehem, didn't want to grab after things like being equal with God. He didn't want to become well known around the world for being strong or intelligent or a great leader. He came as a normal human being. Do you know why he came as a normal human being? Because that's what you are, and that's what I am. And he had to come to be with us. He had to come to be with us. Now then, the next step that Jesus took, well, that one's explained, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. He came as one of us. But didn't stop there. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to come down to earth and be born as a human being. He had to continue to follow God all the time. And so we're told that he became obedient. Look at these words. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Jesus was obedient to God all the time. Now then, boys and girls, you know what obedient means, don't you? Obedient means, go on in. Listening and doing what you're told. Yeah, listening and doing what you're told. Okay, that's what it means. Okay? Well, Jesus was obedient to God all the time. Who finds it easy to be obedient all the time? Stick your hand up if you find it easy to be obedient all the time. Thank you, Joel. Good lad. You can pop your hand down now. Good lad. Can I be honest? When I was growing up as a boy, I found it really hard to be obedient all the time. Hands up who thought that when you were growing up as a boy or girl. Hands up. Was it hard to be obedient? It's hard to be obedient, isn't it? All the time. Well, Jesus was obedient to God all the time. And that's what makes him so special. That's what makes him so special. What happened to Jesus? Boys and girls, what happened to Jesus when he died? Do you remember? He didn't stay on the cross, did he? What happened to Jesus when he died? He was put into a... anybody know? He was put into a tomb, wasn't he? He was buried. And he stayed in the tomb for 3 days. And then he was raised back to life again. He was raised back to life again. Boys and girls, have you ever made a den at home? Maybe two chairs with a big blanket over, and you've played in it with your brothers or sisters or friends. Have you ever done that? And then have you ever asked your mum or your dad to come in to your den? Have you ever done that? You see, your den is built for boys and girls your size, isn't it? It's built for people your size, your height. But whenever daddies try and get down into a den, it's really hard work, isn't it, dads? Maybe getting down's not the problem. Getting up's the problem. It just doesn't quite fit. A den made for children doesn't really suit people of our height or size. A parent getting into a den means you have to stoop really low. Well, when Jesus became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, he was stooping as low as he could go. There was nowhere lower to go. He's come from heaven to earth as a man to die. There's nowhere else for him to go. He stooped as low as possible. It's a wonderful truth of how Jesus acted. Now, if you fill in the sheet in, here's the next point. In case you haven't realised, grown-ups, these all start with B, which suits my head, may not suit yours. But does anybody know what B, bestowed, means? Boys, I'm going to ask the grown-ups for that one. Grown-ups, any idea what bestowed means? You don't have to put your hand up, just shout out. Given. Brilliant. It's as simple as that. I hope you get lots of presents given to you at Christmas. Well, that's what this means. God gives Jesus a great name. He bestows a great name. This is where the God highly exalted him. Jesus, who has stooped as low as he can go, God lifts him up and gives him a name. Can you see what it says there? That is above every name. That is above every name. Not just that he's innocent, not just that he shouldn't have died, but a name that is above every name. Now, I'm going to show you the next bit, because I think this is really exciting. If you're a Christian, this is a brilliant truth to hold on to. Because it's not just that God bestowed a great name on Jesus. In other words, called Jesus something really valuable. He's made it certain that everybody, now listen to this, boys and girls, grown-ups too, that everybody will bow down to the Lord Jesus. Let's read these words, because this is important. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That verse tells me that you and I, one day, will bow our knees and say the words, Jesus Christ is Lord, and know what it means. And that everybody will do it. When the Bible talks about God the Father bestowing a name on Jesus that's above every name, that's what it means. That there is nobody else like him. And so that's why I've given it the title about the one God honours. Do you see up the top there? Do you know what honour means, boys and girls? Let's say you go for a long car journey and Everything is squeezed into the car and there's hardly any space for boys and girls in the back, okay? And so your mum and dad says, okay, you have to choose your favourite toy because only one toy can come. All right? The toy that you choose, you are giving honour to. You are honouring that toy as something special, okay? And God is honouring Jesus as something completely special. There is nobody like him in all the world. There's nobody like him in all the universe. And one day, we will all know it. That's a really exciting verse in the Bible. That started, you know, people bowing and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord has started already. When someone becomes a Christian, that's what they do. They acknowledge that Jesus is King, and they speak about him being Lord, being the God who looks after them, cares for them, loves them, and protects them, saves them. Excuse me. That's not started already. But one day everybody will say it. And the really sad thing is that one day, some people will say it for the first time. And on that day, it'll be too late. Too late to be saved by Jesus. So it's really important that we understand how big and great and wonderful that Jesus Christ is. So we can, today, turn to him and trust him as the God who's come from heaven to earth to die, lifted up by God to be our Saviour. Now, there's got a lot of ground there. God honours the one who before Bethlehem wouldn't grasp after the things that he wanted for himself. He honours the one who became human and became obedient to the point of death. And God has honoured him by bestowing him a name, a unique name. Lord, King over all things. And everybody will bow down to him. Boys and girls, I wonder if you could help me. Let's see if I'm thinking of a man from the story of Jesus being born. I'm thinking of a man. I want you to try and guess his name. He's king, is this fella. And he's not a very nice king. Can anybody remember the name of a king in the story of Jesus being born who wasn't a particularly nice king? Sarah. King Herod. Who's heard of King Herod? Yeah. What did King Herod decide to do when he heard about Jesus being born? Joseph, can you tell me? He decided to kill him, didn't he? He wanted to get Jesus. And sure, he wanted to kill Jesus. And so he decided to kill all the baby boys who had been born in Bethlehem. Isn't that a really nasty thing to do? Do you know why Herod did that? Herod did that because he wanted to be king. I'm now thinking of a different man. Not at the start of the life of Jesus, but at the, well, towards the end. A man who was in power when Jesus was on trial just before he was killed. His name, he's not a king, but he's a ruler. His name begins with P. And like Herod, he wasn't a very nice man either. Can anybody remember anybody's name that began with P at the end of the life of Jesus? Is that Pilate? Yeah, Pilate. Okay, not the Pilate who drives a plane, but Pilate who's in charge of the whole area. And Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. But he still allowed him to be killed. Do you know why he did that? Because he wanted to be in control. He wanted to keep all the power to himself. And he was scared. The people were going to cause some trouble if he didn't hand over Jesus. So he handed over Jesus to keep the people quiet. He wanted to stay in control. So you've got two people, one at the start of the life of Jesus, and one at the end of the life of Jesus, Herod, Pilate. They both want to be in control. They both want to be boss. But Jesus does it differently. We've just been told that he comes from heaven to earth, and while on earth, he dies in our place for our sins. And then God raises him up. Jesus is made king or Lord over all things when actually he serves God. Do you see how different that is from Herod and Pilate? They wanted to be in control, and so they made decisions to look after themselves. Jesus made decision to look after others. And God made him king over all. Christian, that's the kind of king you have. That's the kind of Lord you have. The one who makes decisions to look after you perfectly well. In all your weakness, in all your sin, in all your failings, you have a Lord who will look after you perfectly. Now then, this is going to be a shorter point, boys and girls. The way God works. Do you see the way God works? God doesn't give a thumbs up to people who want to be in control, Herod or Pilate. God gives a thumbs up to people who say to him, we want to follow you. Just like Jesus did. Jesus lived a life following God. And God wants us to live a life following him as well. There's a question on your sheet, boys and girls, that you might need to pay attention for in this one. This is from a song that a lady sang, a lady called Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. When she found out that she was going to have Jesus as a baby, she met her cousin Elizabeth, and Mary sang a song. This is part of the song. I want you to see, grown-ups, just notice this. This is important for us as well. I want you to see how God works. He has shown strength with his arm. As God has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and he's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And Mary sang those words. Mary knew the way God works is, if you come to God full of yourself and wanting control, he sends you away full of yourself and wanting control. But if you come to God, well, the words that Mary uses is humble. You see that? Or hungry, wanting God more. Well, God works with people like that. He fills the hungry and he lifts up the humble. That's what he did with Jesus. Jesus humbled himself and God lifted him up. It's a picture of coming to know God through Jesus. We make ourselves low so that he lifts us up. That's how God works. That's the way God works. Now, boys and girls, for the last few all-age services, we've been teaching you actions for these prayers, okay? The first one's adore, the second one's confess, the other one's thanksgiving, and the other one's supplicate or saying please to God. Can anybody remember the first one, the actions for the first kind of prayer, which is adore? Can anybody remember that? Some of the adults are doing it, which is a good sign. Joseph, can you show me? Brilliant. Yeah. You cross your heart saying that you love God. We adore God. Because we're going to pray these prayers in the light of how God works. We adore God. What about confess? Does anybody remember the sign for confess? Anybody remember? Me and Joseph are going to have a conversation for the next few minutes. Joseph, what's the sign for confess? Yeah. We've done something wrong. Do you remember that? Parents getting a big X in your homework. We've done something wrong. We want to say sorry to God. We want to confess our sins to God. What about thanksgiving? So we've got a door. We've got thanksgiving. Joseph, I'm going to go somewhere else, mate. Sorry. Okay. Gabriel. Oh, almost. What's the other one? That's it. Lovely. Okay. Thanksgiving. Okay. We adore you. We want to say sorry and confess our sins. And we want to say thank you. Thank you. Gabriel, what's the hand action for the last one? It's what you told me earlier. Brilliant. Yeah. We come to God empty-handed and we say, God, please, would you help us? Shall we practice those together? I know it's childlike, but if our prayer life includes these four things, our prayer life will be healthy. We adore God. We want to say sorry to him for the things we've done wrong. We want to thank him for the things he's given us. And we want to say, please, will you give us what we need? So I'm going to pray through that order. You don't always have to pray in that order, okay, but just the words fall out like that sometimes. So we're going to pray now and thank God that he works in such a way to lift up people who come to him hungry and humble. Shall we pray? Boys and girls, if you want to, you can keep your eyes open and I'll do the hand actions as well as I speak. That might be helpful, okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to say that we adore you. We love the fact that your Son came to earth in love for us, even though we don't deserve it. We want to say that we love you for loving us and sending your Son. We want to say sorry and confess that actually we've done things that we know need forgiving. We know that we need Jesus to forgive us. We want to say sorry for those things. Sorry for when we've run out of patience being obedient. When we've not wanted to do what you want us to do. Would you forgive us for those things? Father in heaven, we want to say thank you. Thank you. We can read in the Bible about how special Jesus is so that we can know him and know you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray you would help us. Would you help us to be forgiven by Jesus and to follow him all the days of our lives? Would you help us in this way, we pray? Amen. Boys and girls, grown-ups, I want you to see something really important, that this passage is about the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven to earth to die and God lifting him up. It is about that. But this passage is also about how we live. Let me show you the words that show us that. Have this mind, or this attitude, okay? Have this attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, because Jesus lives in you, let his attitude live out of you. Because Jesus lives in you, let his attitude live out of you. Now, anybody heard of Captain America? You heard of Captain America? Well, before Steve Rogers becomes Captain America, he and some of his friends are training. They're training in the army, and they're being assessed as to who's going to be made Captain America. And one of the tests that his commander gives is they're in the middle of a long run, and they stop at a flagpole. Do you know what a flagpole is? A long, thin, smooth pole. It's really high, and at the top there's a flag. Flag pole, okay? And the commander says, whoever gets to the top of that flagpole and gets me the flag, you can have a lift home in the Jeep instead of running all the way back. Well, it's a long way home. So it's worth a try. So they try to get up. Well, their hands are mucky from the run. So every time they grab this smooth pole, they slip down. Okay? Some of them are strong. So they get up. But when they get higher, some of their mates, well, they don't want them to get up, so they pull them down. So after about 10 minutes, these men are tired and no one has got anywhere near the flag at the top of the pole. Steve Rogers, who becomes Captain America, simply walks up to the flagpole. It's stuck into a base and pinned. He just pulls the pin out and the pole just falls. He walks to the end of the pole. He picks up the flag and goes, there you go, and gets in the Jeep and goes home. He got to the top a different way. He got to the top a different way. And that's what happened to Jesus. He got to the greatest position in all of the world a different way. Different from Herod, different from Pilate, different from how we all want to grab things for ourselves. But this verse tells us that attitude of not putting yourself first, but putting others first, is the attitude that we are supposed to live by. Boys and girls, it's really hard to put other people first, but when we think about Jesus putting us first and dying for us, it gets easier. And when we ask Jesus for his help in putting others first, he helps us. It's not just for children, is it? It's one of the big dangers of Christmas. We think it's just for the kids. It's not. As a pastor, I love the idea of having a church that's humble before God. That's a wonderful truth. I get really excited about other people being humble as well. It's a little bit harder. be excited about me being humble. But when Paul writes all these wonderful things about Jesus coming from heaven to earth to die and lifted up by God the Father to the greatest position in all the world, he starts off by saying, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves. Boys and girls, that means we put other people first because Jesus put us first. That means we'll care for other people more than we'll care for ourselves. Grown-ups, it's exactly the same. I know you know what self-sacrifice is because that's what parenting is. That's what adult life is characterized by. But self-sacrifice for the good of the family, the good of the church, Jesus loves that. And he will live that in. He will live that into us, especially when we ask him for his help. So it's not just children I'm talking to today. Will you, this Christmas, think about Jesus who came from heaven to earth to die and was raised up by God? Will you think about him and listen to these words? Have this mind, this attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That's how Christ lived. And this is how Christ's people live. We put others first. That's how church family works best. That's how church family works best. Now, sometimes we come to church or we talk to our Christian friends and we need wrapping up. We need caring and loving. But more often than not, we come. The danger is we come selfishly, not selflessly. And this passage tells us, not just for boys and girls, but for grown-ups too, we come with that attitude. We grow as church in the attitude of putting others first. Are you prepared for that? Because that's why Christ is living in you. That's exactly why Christ is living in you, that you may live like that. Live like your big brother. Live like your big brother. That's what that verse is telling us. Let his attitude be in you. He was Lord, but he came low. He was lifted up, and we are told, be like him. That's easy to understand, isn't it? I think we need God's help to live that one out. So I'm going to pray for God's help to live that out. I'll pray for me. I'll pray for you too. And then we'll sing to finish our service. Shall we come to God in prayer? Father in heaven, we see the story of Jesus coming from heaven to earth to die and you lifting him up. We think that is wonderful. And we are so glad he came. So glad that you lifted him up. And he's now in heaven as Lord over all. We look forward to the day when every knee will bow. In earth, in heaven, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We look forward to that day. As that day gets closer, would you help us to live with the attitude of Jesus? Not to put ourselves first or forward, but to live among other people and for other people. We find that hard and we've not done it well. Would you forgive us? And would you help us? And as we see Jesus, the attitude of Jesus in our lives together, may you give us joy and peace in believing. Would you help us in these ways? We pray. Amen.